Jesus said to suffer not the young children to come to me, and this is the verse that came to my mind when he walked up there with his dad. One of the things that I kind of want to, before I get into my sermon, I want to tell you, I was combing through some of my files on my computer, and I ran across some old sermons and this past week, and my youngest son is here today, and he lives in Dallas now, or in Denton area now. And you know, when Chance was a little boy, Chance wanted to be involved in my sermon preaching. And so when I would ask a question, it didn't matter what the question was. I could ask, so what are your thoughts about paying taxes? And Chance had an opinion on it at 4 and 5 and 6. And I think back to those times, and I think it's really important for us to be as desirous to be involved as he was at that young age. And I think that's kind of what Jesus saw in the young kids. It's one of the things he saw. There were a lot of people who had encounters with Jesus throughout Scripture. And if you go through and you just start reading encounter after encounter, what you're going to discover is, first of all, Jesus is cool. Like, Jesus is an awesome dude to interact with. And so we've talked about several different interactions, and today is one of those interactions that if you don't know some things, you're going to miss some of the nuances. Today I titled my lesson, "What's Your Response?" And we'll get into that a little bit in a little bit, but I want to take you down a road about 10 people who came to see Jesus and their lives were changed forever. And one of them was transformed. And we'll talk about that as we go forward. And the scripture goes like this in Luke 17, beginning of verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priests." As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And as he was a Samaritan, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And so, this is one of those stories where we don't really have historical context unless we look back a little bit. Have anybody ever seen or met anybody who had this disease of leprosy? Have you ever known anybody? I've never known anyone who had the disease of leprosy. But you need to understand some things about this disease. This disease was what they called a living death. And what it would do is it was a disease that would just rot your skin. It was that bad. But the disease was way worse than that because it was so unbelievably contagious that people couldn't be around you. And so this disease out over in the Levitical law, because God gave laws about all this stuff. He says anyone with such a defiling disease, leprosy, must wear torn clothes. Let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." I mean, that would not fly in today's society, right? But can you imagine living a life where your whole existence, you're not allowed to dress yourself up. You're not allowed to look as though you're doing okay. You're not allowed to pretend you have no problems. Your problem is out in the forefront. You are living death. And you have to go around. You know, don't miss this. They would have to shout, "Unclean, unclean," as they walked about anywhere they would go. No one was to approach them. They were dying, and they couldn't have any of the great comforts that we enjoy when our diseases take us, right? When we go down that road, we don't get that interaction. They don't get that interaction. They're literally dying alone. And so it's called the living death. And so these people heard somewhere along the way about Jesus healing people. I mean, we can see that, right? They are living death, but they heard that Jesus has something that may be different from anything else they've experienced. You probably agree with me, they've done everything they can do up to this point. They've visited every doctor they can think of. They probably chased every holistic cure there was. They probably diffused all the oils they could find. They did all of it, right? They tried everything, but they heard about Jesus. And so they find themselves coming to Jesus, and the next thing we notice about them is they're distant. And so they're a long ways off, like they're yelling out to Jesus. And I wonder what it must have been like for everybody around to see these living dead people. I think that one of the things that must have been true of them is that they didn't believe they had the right to get close to this master. They didn't believe they could approach him. They didn't believe that they could get nearer to him. In fact, the Levitical law says this: as long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. They're distant. They're distant from anything and everything. Their existence is one of solitude or with other people who share in their disease. There is no anything that can draw them nearer. The third thing we see about them is there's nothing they can do to fix their problem. There's nothing they can do to resolve their situation. They're just stuck. They are powerless to do anything, and so they cry out to Jesus in a loud voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." I want you to know something before I go any further into this. I want you to understand just the utter helplessness these people must have felt. The utter hopelessness. The utter powerlessness. Just this utter belief that there is no conclusion to their suffering. They just must endure. And so these people who are living death, distant and powerless, call out to Jesus, and I want you to hear his response. "Go show yourself to the priest," he says. Now, when I ran across this verse, the first thing that came to my mind is, huh? Why is he sending them to go show themselves to the priest? Why is he telling these lepers? We have seen it, right? We all know the stories. We see the blind man whom he healed instantly. We see the lame man who walked instantly. We see all of these things. But these 10 lepers come to him, and he says, "You go show yourself to the priest." And so it took some digging, but I found something interesting out about that. There were regulations about how you could become unclean in society. And one of the things you had to do was go show yourself to the priest. And so what would happen is these regulations for any diseased people at the time of the ceremony of cleansing, when they are brought to the priest is to go outside the camp and examine them if they have been healed of their defiling skin disease. The priest shall order them that two live clean birds and two and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought before the person to be cleansed. Then the priest shall order that one of the birds that they killed over fresh water in a clay pot, this is very specific, he then said to take the live bird and dip it together with the cedar wood, the scarlet yarn, and the hyssop into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. 7 times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed with the defiling disease and then pronounce them clean. You realize how big this moment is to go before the priest and for them to pronounce you clean? What did they yell all the time? Unclean, unclean. And now they're being proclaimed clean. I just want you to understand something. Jesus didn't send them to the priest to be healed. Jesus sent them to the priest because they were healed. Are you with me? And so what Jesus' response was to heal them, and he sent them to the priest to get the declaration of what Jesus had already done. And so they went to the priest to get healed. And so they went. And then one of them, their response was they went to do what they were told to do. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't know if anybody's ever done this, but if you have something going on that nobody seems to be able to figure out, whatever that issue is, you will end up doing whatever anybody tells you to do, right? And so these men come to Jesus, and they have mercy on us. He said, go see the priest. They go, okay, we'll do that. So they go to see the priest. So they went, and then one of them came back to give God praise and thank Jesus. Jesus asks a really important question here. He says, where are the nine? Were not 10 of you healed, yet one of you comes back? I want to share something with you. There's something really interesting. Do you notice who comes back? Do you know what person comes back? Of the 10 that were there, the one that comes back is the Samaritan, not the Jew. There were 10 of them in the Samaria. In fact, Jesus is astonished by this, and he says, were there not 10 of you, and yet the foreigner is the only one that comes back? The one that you people call dogs? This is the one that comes back and gives thanks and praise to God. And then he says to him, your faith has made you well, and he sends him on his way. That's a really neat story. To see God just love on somebody who has been having to yell out to everybody, unclean, unclean. To somebody who's been living death and distant and powerless to do anything about it. It's a really cool story. Do you realize it's our story? You see, we're living death outside of the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. The scripture tells us that when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God has made you alive together, and he forgave us all our sins. It says in another place, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. It says, but the widow who lives for her pleasure is dead even while she lives. You need to understand that we don't get this imagery very good, but we, outside of a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, are all dead in our sins. We don't walk around and yell unclean, unclean, but we are just as unclean, unclean. We are just as distant as they are. We are as far away from God as you can get in our sin. And the scripture tells us that our sins separate us from God. Our iniquities separate us from a relationship with God. And then we're told, Christ Jesus, who we were once far away from, has been brought near by the blood of Christ. And the last thing we need to understand is that we're powerless to change our circumstance on our own. Do you see the similarities? You see, I don't know where everybody is in life. I know that many of you have called on the name of the Lord a long time ago. You've given your life to Christ, you've believed in the Word, and you have turned your life over to Him, and you've surrendered. But there may be somebody here who is still living death. There may be somebody here who is still distant. There may be some of you here who are still powerless in your circumstance. You're just a little bit away from where you need to be, and you feel it, you know it, and you experience it, and you're resisting it. And part of the reason is because maybe you don't believe that there's healing coming. Maybe you don't believe that God can do what he does with you. In fact, if you imagine being a leper after all this time, how difficult it must have been to believe that if they left, they would be cleansed. Can you imagine how difficult it would have believed that this is the time when everything changes? These lepers come before Jesus, dead, distant, and powerless. We all have to come before Jesus, dead, distant, and powerless. And so his reaction to us is very much the same as his reaction to them. Though we are dead, he makes us alive together in Christ Jesus. Though we are dead and distant, though we are distant, he reconciles us to his Son through Christ Jesus. And though we are powerless, he saves us through the washing of regeneration. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his great love and mercy for us. Do you see this? I'm afraid that we get so caught up in the disease that we miss the response. We miss the beauty of the answer. And the answer, simply put, is Christ Jesus. The same answer that those lepers needed is the answer that we who are outside of Christ, any who are outside of Christ, needs even today. We used to tell people this. We used to warn people of their own situation and circumstance. Many of us have people we love dearly who've never given their life to Christ. And like I said, there may be some here today who are in that very same situation. Here's the thing I want to promise you. When you come to Jesus, there is healing. There is rescue. There is salvation. There is life. There is reconciliation. When you come to Jesus, just as those lepers, you will go away to show yourself to anyone, and the work, the power that God has done will be revealed in you at that time. Now I want to talk to the rest of you who at one time gave your life to Christ, who at one time surrendered yourself to the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who saw the cross and recognized its healing implication, who saw the Son of God and what He could bring to our lives. I want to talk to you because here's what happened. There were 10 there. Do you remember? There were 10. All 10 were cleansed of this terrible disease. Yet 9 did not return. 9 went through the rest of whatever they were doing. They went on and they just reveled in their healing without doing the next thing that will bring them sustainable results. And that is coming back to praise God and give thanks. You see, I want you to understand something. This isn't even about the healing anymore. It's about the response to the healing. It's not about the sacrifice anymore. It's about the response to the sacrifice. When Jesus died on the cross and He said, "It is finished," it was finished. He had done everything that needed to be done to restore you to the relationship with God that you were seeking. He had done everything that needed to be done to reconcile you, to save you. He had done it all. Now it's time for a response. And I want you to understand the response came after the healing. The response came after He had done the work. And the leper, the one leper, comes back to Him. And do you know what Jesus says to him? When he comes back first, he's marveled that the other 9 decided to just go on and do life the way they do life, doing their own thing. But he marveled at the one, the foreigner, the one that was least expected. He marveled at him because he came back and gave praise to God. We're about to go into the season of Thanksgiving, where we gather and we do our family things. I want you to recognize that we tend to do our fellowship in a way that isn't geared toward this recognition of the unbelievable truth of what God has already done. We have a tendency to focus on what God needs to do, or what should happen, or what I need right now, when in fact, our response now should be in response to the truth of God's Word that you have been healed, you have been reconciled, you have been rescued. And the only response you can have to something like that is the same response the leper has when he comes back and he praises God and he thanks Him. Let me ask you, what do you think that looked like? What do you think it looked like for that leper to come back and give God thanks and praise? I'll give you some scenarios. Thank you. Do you think that's what it looked like? Do you think he was overwhelmed with joy so much that his approach was just, "Hey, thanks"? Do you think it was one of those things where he says, "You know what? I'm going to come back and I'm going to give him thanks," and be like, "Hey, good job"? Or do you think he was overwhelmed with the reality of what God had done? So overwhelmed that he couldn't be contained. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that I just love. I love. David is going to get the ark. Y'all know this story. David is going to get the ark to bring the presence of God back into Jerusalem. And he sends out a cart to get the ark, which wasn't the way it was supposed to be done. But lots of things happened in the process. But finally, the ark gets back to Jerusalem. And do you remember what David does? The scripture says he danced before the Lord. So much so that his wife looked out and said, "Oh, heavens me, he's being undignified." And I love David's response. He says, "I'll become even more undignified than this. Why? Because David recognized what it was to be in the presence of God, and that's what Jesus has done for us. He has torn down that wall of separation. He has removed every barrier. He has taken away everything that hindered us from approaching the throne of grace with confidence and with boldness. He's torn it all down. And yet, too often, we respond as though it's just another thing. I can't even imagine how many times this man told his story. I once knew a man named Jesus. And I was dead. I was distant. And I was powerless. But then I met him. And now I'm alive. And I'm brought near. And I am full of grace and mercy of my God and my Savior and my Lord. Let's not forget to whom we owe the most thanks over this next week. Let's not forget what he has taken us from and brought us to. Let's not forget that he deserves every bit of our praise and adoration and admiration. Let's not forget that there are others who need to hear this story. Not just the story of the lepers, but your story. The story of your salvation, where Jesus pulled you back from the dead and brought you to life and gave you power and strength and grace and mercy. That's something to celebrate. I'll become even more undignified than this. I want to end with a personal story. I spent most of my life doing church. Y'all know what I mean, right? I don't even have to explain what I mean by doing church. Showed up at church on Sundays. Well, I grew up in a household where we thought the more you did church, the better you were at churching. So this was our schedule, 9:30 Bible class, 10:30 worship, 6 o'clock Sunday evening worship, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Sometimes, really important times, we would do an entire gospel meeting. We would meet every night at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock every day. And we would come together, and I was there every time. And I did church, and I did church well. I knew how to dress. I knew how to sing. Well, still don't know how to sing, but I knew what to sing. I knew how to dress, I knew what to sing, I knew when to stand, I knew when to sit, I knew how to pray, I knew how to hear, I knew how to take communion, I knew how to do all of that stuff, and I did it well. I was good at church. Do you know, I was well into my 20s before I ever recognized just what I had to be grateful for. I was well into my 20s before I experienced the true love of Jesus Christ and understood that I didn't want to do church anymore. I wanted to be a part of the church now. I wanted to participate in what the church is doing. I wanted to praise God. And I remember that feeling when he finally helped me see what I was lacking wasn't more moral uprightness. What I was lacking was more recognition of his goodness and the finished work of his salvation. I'm tired of doing church. You see, that's what the nine did. They left and they did church. They went to the priest. They were declared unclean. And I'm sure they continued to go see the priest and show up for everything that they were supposed to show up for. I want to be upon the one who comes back and gives God glory, not just on Sundays, but in every aspect of my life. I want to praise God when I walk into an office, and I want to praise God when I walk into the streets. I want to praise God when I stand or sit in a tree stand or when I'm sitting on my boat. Wherever I find myself, I never want to forget that I was once dead and he gave me life. I was once distant and he brought me near. I was once powerless and he filled me with his power. That's something to praise God for. Amen? I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're the person who's still the leper, and you need that healing power of Jesus. We want to give you that opportunity today, but not just today. Maybe you go home and it strikes you. We don't want that moment to go by you. If you need help, reach out. In fact, you can look on your bulletin. There are phone numbers all over that bulletin. You can call any one of those numbers, and we will help you in achieving that. But you can do it now. If you've never given your life to Christ, let today be the day of your salvation. Let today be the day that your life is changed forever, where you go before the priest to receive what has already been offered. And maybe if you're one of those people who did that a long time ago and you've been stuck in the rut and you don't really know how to go forward, today is a day that we'll offer prayer for you to get back to that place of thanksgiving where you're one of the one and not the nine, where you come and offer praise instead of complaint. We want to offer you that today. If you need prayer, if you need to give your life to Christ, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. You can come up to the front. You can grab me after the service. You can grab Mark. You can grab somebody else and just say, I need something. Danny will be in the back. He'll pray over you. I'll be up here. I'll pray over you. Whatever you need today. Let's go into Thanksgiving week giving praise and adoration to a God who rescued us. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your son, Jesus. I thank you that though these lepers were not touched by any because of the reality of their disease, your son was willing to reach in and bring them healing. He was willing to bring them back to life. He was willing, Father, to bring them closer, and he was willing to give them the power to be healed. And today, Father, I know that you've done the same for us through your son, Jesus. And I pray that if there's anybody here this morning who's never really surrendered to that, who's never given their life to you in that, that today be the day that they come back to life, that you bring life to their dead bodies, and you save them from their destiny, and you give them a new hope and a new future. Father, I pray that for the rest of us, that we never stop praising you and giving you thanks, that we learn to become even more undignified than this in the recognition of your beautiful mercy and your wonderful grace. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, let's stand and worship together.